Thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting Community Access Radio in Winnipeg, CKUW 95.9 FM.
The following is an encore presentation from CKUW's archives. Join us next week when the regular host will be back with a few new episodes of original programming.
You're about to listen to an interview with Breanne Sawicki, Executive Director of ASART. This interview was previously broadcasted on December 11th, 2025, here on CKUW 95.9 FM.
This is your Arts Talk radio show, and you're here with Derek Breckner. And usually we have Zoe LeBrun, but Zoe is a little under the weather. Probably working too hard at the platform fundraiser last weekend and got overexerted in that crowd of people during the fundraiser, and it needs a bit of time off today. She's not feeling that well. But anyways, here we are, Thursdays, 5:30 at usual. Eat your arts and vegetables here in CKW 95.9 FM. And today we have, well, technically we kind of have two guests, but I'll explain what I mean by that. We have Breanne Sawicki. Breanne is, I don't know, what's your official title at ASART now, Breanne?
Right now I'm the executive director at ASART. So
right. So there you go.
Yeah, definitely. It's changed a few times. Started as the director of finance and administration and then became director of operations. And most recently in July became the executive director.
Yeah. So congratulations. From my point of view, you've been the face of ASART for a while now, and it's nice to see you officially in that capacity as the person who's in charge of the space now.
Yeah, it's really fun. So I'm coming up on being there for 3 years now.
Yeah.
So started in February of 2023, roughly. Yeah. And ASART had not done a ton in its new location
due to the pandemic, right? I mean,
pandemic, and so we also delayed opening from the pandemic. We didn't reopen until March of 2022.
Yeah.
We held two exhibitions in the space.
Yep.
And then there was a bit of a hiatus for a while. There was some scheduled contracted shows that needed to happen, and that kind of happened within the first year of hiring, as well as a pretty fun members exhibition, the 40th birthday.
Yeah.
So I started at ASART when we turned 40. Pretty fun. Now we're going into 43 years. So it's definitely been around for a long time, but the 206 Princess location is stunning. Like the gallery,
yeah,
space.
I agree.
It's,
from my perspective, it's you know, I had a solo show at the old space in July of 2000, so 25 years ago, and it didn't have air conditioning. It was really hot that summer.
Oh, yeah.
But this new space has AC, so it's good, so you can do all sorts of programming in the summer and not melt or sweat or swelter. And for those of you who might have heard another sound coming from, so remember I was saying that we have sort of like two people here. Well, technically we have ASART's mascot Lucy, who's Breanne's dog, is also in the,
yeah, she's having a little bit of a coughing fit here, Lucy.
Yeah. But for those listening, don't worry. She's in Breanne's bag and on Breanne's lap, so we're not going to have a mess left by the dog in the studio, so we're okay.
Oh, yeah. She's also 10 years old and deathly afraid of using the bathroom in the house. Not for any reason from my ownership, but I rescued her when she was 6 years old. And the previous owner definitely didn't let her out as much as they should have, and would scold her for going to the bathroom inside.
Now it's taken me a while. Like, I've gotten, you know, since I try to frequent ASART as much as I can, and I think Lucy sort of knows me now because she didn't bark at me at all today, but she did unfortunately bark at Ron as he was leaving today. So
yeah, she definitely likes to make her presence known. She's a special way of saying hi.
Yeah.
I think at 10 years old, she doesn't quite understand how loud she is.
Yeah.
But she's a funny one. She's always at ASART Wednesday to Saturday, 12 to 5.
That's right. So if you see a little chihuahua, you know, kind of at ASART, that's Breanne's dog that we're hearing on air right now.
Yeah, you can also hear her sometimes in the gallery when you walk in. But she usually calms down very quickly.
Yeah, no, I found that the best technique with Lucy, the ASARP mascot is I just lay on the ground and then she comes up and starts to lick my face. It's
yeah.
like,
yeah. yeah. And no one will need to be afraid of her. She has absolutely no teeth. Yeah. So she can't really bite. Yeah. A couple people claim that she's nibbled her a foot or a toe here or there, but I'm skeptical of that.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. So ASARP.
Yeah.
So you've got an open call coming up in January, correct?
Yeah, so our open call is actually active right now. Opened mid-September, and it closes January 17th at midnight. Entails an exhibition proposal for the 2027 calendar year. Our annual open call that happens, we choose all of our exhibitions based off of this open call. You have to apply in order to be exhibited at ASARP. That's how we get to know the artists in our community, especially the emerging artists. That's our primary focus. And so any artists that are interested, put together an exhibition proposal of yourself, a group. It doesn't have to be one person. Any curators that may be listening also, you're welcome to apply as a curator to curate a show.
Yeah.
There's pretty much endless opportunities. ASARP does have two gallery spaces, and this year and next year you would have seen some experimentation with two exhibitions running at once. Our exhibition right now is an example of that. Yeah. Perennial by Emmy Sparks, and then Land Fear by Vi Hussein, curated by Julia Lafreniere.
Both people from those exhibitions have been on this show, actually.
Yeah, so. No, which is fantastic. I know sometimes Derek will ask me if I want to do this, and I always am like, no, but I got a great artist for you. But no, today was the day that I finally said yes.
I'm very pleased by that. Thank you.
Yeah. But you know, so both two very exciting exhibitions, but we are going to move away from that. It still will kind of feel like two exhibitions, but we would like to use a smaller space as more of an experimental room for single works, where there's maybe seven artists that have the opportunity to put up a photo, a painting, a sculpture, a video, ceramics, like any sort of medium.
So do you see it like, I'm sorry if I'm not understanding this, but so you're sort of seeing like the smaller space is kind of like a collaborative, experimental kind of like group sort
community
of space?
Building for sure.
Okay.
Maybe not so collaborative. I don't necessarily think the works need to talk to each other, or at this moment they need to be curated into one exhibition, like a group show.
Okay.
But it could be a group show, but I think it would be more labeled as like the smaller members exhibition one. And we would run four of those throughout the year.
Oh, okay.
Alongside the exhibitions chosen from the annual open call.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then the fifth exhibition would be the members exhibition.
Okay.
And so,
yeah.
I think, and if everything opened on the same night, so we have, say, January 9th, we'd have an exhibition open. Seven artists would also open that evening in their smaller show. Still receive like promotion on Instagram, receive writing potentially, documentation for sure of their work, and feedback.
And little invites?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, handbills with and whatnot. So it does have this sense of being part of a group show, but
there you go.
I think we would then build up to work in a way where maybe these shows are curated each year, where maybe there's four curators or one curator curating the entire block of the year, where maybe the works do talk to each other or have a bit of a theme. And yeah, everyone would receive Carfax payment also. So hypothetically, hopefully that would be kind of the main goal, to ensure that people are paid still to be shown in the gallery.
So I guess like this new strategy for the programming is about just trying to have more people access the gallery.
I think that's the main focus is
and more as paid people, professional artists. Yeah.
Yeah. And it can like, it can be artists working in this community that maybe not, they might not consider themselves emerging, but I think moving to merging the emerging and the established into each other a little bit more is beneficial as well. I think it would be heavily focused on the emerging, where it may even be one community member that's maybe an established artist is asked to participate. That person may not receive Carfac, but where the emerging artists get to have the opportunity to say, I was in this show with so-and-so.
Yep.
Whether it's maybe even yourself or...
I think with me having a university salary, I wouldn't feel right asking for emerging artist space to pay me. I don't think that's right. So
it could be this community building where there's going to be individuals that only walk into the gallery because they see that this person's there, and then they're introduced to seven more artists alongside their work. And then the opening celebrations can be a little bit grander, where everyone's communities are kind of coming in to each other.
This all sounds great, Brianne.
It's exciting.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thanks. Hopefully it all transpires. But hopefully next year we can maybe have a test of it later in the year.
Yeah.
That might happen in the summer. We're sorting out space of the gallery of what's needed and what's not needed. So. Land Fear, which is the solo exhibition by Vi Hussein, currently up at Ace Art until December 19th. And Emmy already held her artist talk on the 29th, which is another Saturday, which is another new experimentation for the gallery hosting.
And I thought that time slot worked pretty well. I mean, it was 2:00, I think it started.
2:00, yeah.
And Emmy had a packed house. I think you used up all the chairs that Ace Art had.
I know,
you?
Which we've not done. We store chairs for Young Lungs, where we technically just get to use them all. We actually have a very limited amount of chairs, surprisingly. We will lend them out to whoever kind of really needs them. But yeah, we used every single one of our chairs, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Excited to see.
Yeah, and I think, just to interrupt, but Vi Hussein, who we interviewed, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago, great interview.
Yeah.
I feel like I didn't have to do any work, and they were just so perfect at speaking. And, I mean, they're a communications person, so on top of being an amazing artist, so it was...
The delicacy of the beadwork is just tremendous.
People need to see the show. Emmy's videos, which blew me away, and then Vi's beadwork. It was just an incredible show. So you got till the 19th to see this exhibition. I strongly recommend people go and see it.
It's probably our most well-attended exhibition.
Well, it would make sense, because, the work at Ace Art always has a strong caliber, but this show in particular was,
It's been, the slowest day we've had is 7 people come through besides today, but that's okay. Especially if a couple of days before the artist talk in the middle of the week. There's a class coming tomorrow with principals and teachers from all sorts of arts. So it's really great to see a packed guest list for sure. Outside of the members exhibition, we usually don't see this many people coming through. Yeah.
Well. Congrats. There we go. Interesting. You did your MFA at the School of Art and graduated in 2019?
2019, but I did photo and installation, so I never touched... Well, I took clay in my undergrad at the University of Minnesota, so I did take a number of ceramic classes there, and when I came to grad school, I was always like, I want to combine making ceramics and photo, which... didn't actually happen until well after grad school, but...
And now you're kind of doing...
Now I can't afford to make any photographs, but I fully indulged in the life of being a ceramicist, so...
And you're starting to make, animations with the ceramics, too.
A little bit, yeah. I do want to experiment with, some stop-motion work. Yeah.
I'm very excited about that.
That's kind of recent... ideas. I've been working in a bit of tile-based work. So to make a storyboard with tiles, I think, is going to be pretty interesting, and watch that come to life. All to do with kind of aquatic and fish and water, but a bit of my background is from swimming, so...
That's right. You were... I would say you were almost swimming at the Olympic caliber.
Yeah, I probably should have made the Olympics, but I got very close. I was on the national team and swam at equivalent meets for the year. So,
World tournament sort of things.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Representing Canada.
Yeah. The last year I swam, I swam at Worlds. So, in open water, but not quite the pool, but, I swim like 5Ks and 10Ks. And
now, I know this is like a little bit of a tangent question, if you don't mind me asking, but I've never, you can just say I don't want to answer that, but do you think there's any relationship in terms of the skills you learned as a swimmer and how you're applying to being an artist and running an arts organization? Are there any transferable skill sets from
1,000%?
Tell me if you don't mind sharing.
No, I feel like being an athlete and being so dedicated to something and then not having that one day, if I have pretty much channeled any of that energy into, well, my career and hoping that Ace Art succeeds and becomes a better organization.
Which it has. My point.
I think Ace Art's a tremendous space and very valuable for our art scene. But I never felt like, I had a lot of friends who maybe had hiccups after swimming.
It's a big change, right?
It's a big change, but I think once you can replace that drive and you know what that dedication takes to succeed and you're kind of starting fresh in this new journey, you automatically want to get to the kind of like the end point where things are succeeding. And so you work extra hard to do that, maybe.
I think so. I mean, like I go to ASR a fair bit and you're always there.
I'm the only employee right now. Yeah.
Yeah. But even when you weren't, you were the only one
true.
There.
True. Yeah.
So yeah, for the most part, not to take anything away from that other employee, but no.
He worked mostly remote also. So had a remote contract.
So that's interesting. I appreciate you, answering that question because, I think that, it's always interesting that in terms of the arts and cultural sector that, sports funding gets a lot more money than the arts does.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so it's interesting that there's a comparison there that I find.
Yeah. And I feel like, I don't think I would be nearly as hard of a worker. And I mean, I think I have like an unhealthy, like I work too much, but.
That's the thing. A lot of us, I think, in the arts don't have necessarily a good life work balance.
Yeah, then I'm like, well, I go to my studio and I'm like, am I working or choosing to be here? Because I could be at home watching TV, but I don't even have Wi-Fi in my apartment because I don't.
Right.
Don't spend it. I don't. I'm never there. Well, I'm like, I don't watch TV or really movies or anything like that. Yeah. I'm a very hands-on person. I need to physically be doing something. Yeah. And even with photo, like I started out in the dark room, kind of switched a little digitally for a second. And then I went to Polaroid because then I was like, I can take the emulsion out and move it.
And no mistake there that, that you're now working in ceramics, which is a very physical medium. So just to interrupt for a second. So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to CKW 95.9 FM. We're talking with Breanne Swicky, Executive Director of Ace Art and Artist. We've got about approximately 9 minutes left for the interview, but so for just tuning in, we're just talking about various things, including Ace Art's programmings, Brianna's work as an artist. And, sorry, I interrupted you, but you were talking about your photography.
Oh, we don't need to talk about that. I'm just kidding. But for now, like even working in ceramics, it's so much fun and like to share ceramics with the world. So my studio ceramic cohort, we're located in the Exchange, so definitely see a bit of traffic there on those evenings.
It's for like domestic friendly art and sort of more on the functional side.
Absolutely. There's also some like wall hangings that are tile based work, which I think is pretty interesting. Another kind of realm that moving towards is like wall based ceramic work. They get a little heavy, but that's okay. I'm not really a big commission artist at the moment because time. And if I do take a commission, it sometimes takes me about 8 months to complete.
Yeah. As we've heard from the discussion, you wear a lot of hats.
Yeah, and that's okay also. So I also find it a little overwhelming to make for profit. I also make these vegan fish sculptures, which probably the highlight of something that I make, but I can't make them all year long.
Yeah.
So I only make them when the rivers don't have ice on them. So if you can swim in that river, the Red or the Assiniboine, which maybe none of the people listening actually want to do, but it's not crazy. People do it. Open water swimmers, maybe, mainly, but... yeah, that's the only time of the year that I'll make the fish. So right now, is fish season's over, but the rest of the 2025 fish will be available at...
So, listen, we got, like, maybe about 5 minutes left. Did you want to, like, share any websites, like your website or Ace Art's websites? Or...
My website's currently deactivated, so... but the Ace Art is aceart.org. All of our upcoming information for the open call submission will be on there. There's a whole submission page with all of the criteria and guidelines for submitting a proposal. And then there's also all of our upcoming program for the 2026 calendar year. Our next exhibition is Sky, Callow, Tobin, Roland, a duo exhibition. They'll be taking over both gallery spaces at Ace Art.
Terrific. And when's the opening for that? Is it January or?
January 9th. Great. So that's going to run January 9th to February 28th. No, we're pretty much right back to work after Christmas. It's not necessarily our big holiday time. That's okay.
Well, I'm looking forward to Sky Callow's work. Sky, I've had on the show before. It's been a while, and very interesting artist. And actually, I got a Sky Callow work at the Platform fundraiser.
Oh, I got Laurie Blondeau's work.
Oh, so I wanted Laurie Blondeau's
work.
Yeah,
so did I. There was a lot of good work at the Platform fundraiser.
Yeah.
You might
check with Platform. There might still be like a couple left, you know.
A couple last minute prints.
Yeah.
I know I saw a Dion Smith print. I think he's their artist in residence right now.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe it's not an artist in residence, but they're
doing something with the space.
There's going to be an exhibition by them. It's a Vancouver-based artist. Really interesting, like experimental, like photo paper, but. On that tangent, Sky Callow was the previous recipient of the Platform Photography Award. I think that's what it's called. Yeah. And so I'm really intrigued to see what work's going to come beyond her show from there that wasn't too long ago. But one really fun thing from the gallery is with the Emmy Sparks exhibition, we now have hooks in the ceiling. So we have this very beautiful like heritage tin ceiling.
I hadn't thought of that.
No one's hanging from the ceiling. No one's drilling in the ceiling. I've done like hours and hours of work to put wire systems up to kind of mimic hanging where it was.
As long as it's not too heavy,
I made it so hypothetically should hold 700 pounds with all the cross wires.
Oh, okay.
It did rip out once, which the thing did not weigh 700 pounds. So,
I'm
not good at math, but I did build it. And built one in the smaller gallery at one point. That one kind of came down because it looked a little bit funny, but I think it's all going to come down because these hook systems, I'm not going to like go wild with putting hooks all over the ceiling, but the ones that are up, I think we're going to paint to kind of mimic the ceiling so they're a little bit less noticeable than the silver hooks, and really great for the space because everyone walks in, they see these nice high ceilings, big windows,
and the ceilings like tin ceilings.
Yeah,
it's a really nice space.
Yeah, it used to be in the carriage showroom for Manitoba.
Well, listen, I guess we'll wrap things up, but thank you very much for doing the interview. Really appreciate it.
Great. I'll come back anytime.
Great. I mean, we should come back with the artists or come back by yourself. And of course, bring Lucy as always.
Yeah, sorry. She's been panting for the last few minutes.
But she's been great. She's been great. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's our first time my 15 years of doing the show that we've had a dog in with a guest. So
I know. She comes to work and then.
Yeah.
Walked right here and I was walking up to the building and I was like, security's gonna stop me and tell me my dog can't come in. But no, we're here. We made it to the the radio booth.
Yeah, it's great. And Lucy's sitting here in your bag with your bag strapped over your shoulder. Yeah. And she's like, yeah, she's doing great.
Done great, Lucy.
Yeah. All right, Brianne. Well, thank you very much. You don't want to share. I guess you don't. I guess there's no social media where you can see your work, eh? Or is there?
Oh, the Notorious Brie on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
But okay. Zeros instead of O's. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. Brianne Sawicki, Executive Director at ASART. Got a few things happening programming-wise. We've got, exhibition by Emmy Sparks and by Husen is up until December 19th. Check out that. And then, and they'll be back with a big splash with Sky Callow and the other artist who I'm forgetting.
Tobin Roland.
And that's going to happen January 9th.
Stunning. Yeah.
All right, folks. Well, me and Zoe LeBrun will be back next week, Thursday at 5:30 as usual. Stay tuned for Tony the Brave.
You've just finished listening to a previously broadcasted interview with Brianne Sawicki, Executive Director at ASART 206 Princess. They currently have an exhibition up until tomorrow, Friday, December 19th. Do check it out. This previously broadcasted interview was broadcasted on December 11th, 2025, here on CKW 95.9 FM.
You hear that? That's the sound of CKUW 95.9 FM. Stay tuned.
The Carp. Sunday, 6:30 until 8 p.m. Is that the right one? Is that? Okay, there we go. The Carp. Sorry, I couldn't hear myself in the headphones. And it makes me feel odd and weird and not. The Carp. Sunday, 6:30 until 8 p.m. The Carp. As always, folks, thanks for listening to The Carp. Sunday, 6:30 until 8 p.m.
The Wrench is the Winnipeg Repair, Education, and Cycling Hub. Since 2010, The Wrench has used discarded bike parts collected from Winnipeg's 4R sites to educate our community in bike mechanics and keep us all on our bikes through access to bikes and bike repair. We work with dozens of schools throughout Winnipeg to offer Earn a Bike, an 8-week program for teens to learn to rebuild a bike from scratch and take it home with them at the end of program completion. Are you a teacher who wants to bring Earn a Bike to your school? Get in touch. Check out thewrench.ca and look for Earn a Bike. We can't wait to work with you.
Support for CKUW is provided by the West End Cultural Center, your friendly local arts nonprofit. Community is important to us. Did you know the WEC offers free drop-in music lessons in partnership with the Manitoba Conservatory of Music and Arts? The tune-in program runs Tuesdays at the West End Cultural Center, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. for youth ages 12 to 18.